Hi, welcome aboard, everybody. The program is Travel Talk. My name is John Narborough. I don't have a guest with me today. I'm going to tell you about a trip that Georgie and I have just been on the last few weeks to Mexico. It was an elder hostel. You all know that Georgie and I go on lots of elder hostels, and this was another one of those elder hostels. We enjoyed it very much. Gorgeous weather, very spring-like, just about 75 degrees most days. Never saw a cloud, hardly. Certainly, we never saw any rain. Well, let me tell you about it. Mexico is made up of 34 states, very like the U.S., and a federal district. And the federal district is Mexico City, which, like Washington, is the capital. And right in the middle of Mexico, one of those states is called Guanajuato. And in the middle of the state of Guanajuato is the city of Guanajuato. And that's where we went. Now, most of you have never heard of Guanajuato, and frankly, we'd never heard of Guanajuato until we booked this elder hostel. But it seemed a good place to go because it wasn't a tourist resort, and there was history to it, and it was meant to have beautiful scenery, and so that's where we picked to go. And we arrived without any trouble, flew down on Continental to Houston, and then went on from Houston to a place in Guanajuato called Leon, and that was only about 20 minutes away from the city of Guanajuato. So we had no trouble getting there, and we found the hotel where we were to stay was a beautiful old hacienda. Or estate, I guess you call it in Spanish, hacienda, which had been converted into a hotel. When we got to our room, it was a very big room, looking out onto a courtyard, large bathroom, plenty of space to put everything instead of all being piled up on top, you know, just a little tiny basin, but this one was big bathroom, nice shower, beautiful room, lots of space. The thing that made the hotel interesting, but was a challenge for Georgie, was that it was built on a hillside, and it was a steep hillside. So everywhere you turn, there were steps. Steps up and steps down to get to the dining room, down much further to get to where we had our lectures, steps to get out of the hotel, steps to get up to where we walked to get the bus, steps to get down to a super bar where we got some fabulous margaritas. Margaritas is a Mexican drink, if you don't know it, made with tequila and lemon juice. And you put salt around the top of the glass, just gorgeous, on a nice warm day. But Georgie negotiated with her cane and with my help all those stairs, and in fact all the elder hostlers negotiated the stairs without any problem. There were no falls at all, except for one of our elder hostel guides who fell getting onto the bus of all things. But he didn't hurt himself. But it was a little ironic that the only person to fall was the guy who had been telling us, warning us, to be very, very careful of all these steps and so on and so forth. And he was the guy that fell. Anyway, Guanajuato is an old mining town. It's a silver and gold and a few other metals, but mainly silver and some gold mining town, and the mother lode, as they call it, goes back to 1546. So that goes back a long way. And those mines, for the most part, are still working today. There's still an awful lot of silver and gold to be taken out of this mother lode. Now, the mother lode was discovered by the Spaniards in 1546, but it wasn't really discovered. It was rediscovered, because the reason that the Spaniards had come to this area in the first place was because the native Indians were wearing lots of gold and silver jewelry. So the Spaniards were very interested to find where all this silver and gold was coming from. And they came to this area and they rediscovered this mother lode, as they call it. And as a result, they started a small village near one of the mines. And the village was on a river, on the banks of a river, which flowed down between two mountains. And the mother lode was in one of the mountains and continued on across. When I say mountains, they're not really mountains, they're hills. In fact, the name Guanajuato means frogs on the hills. And the reason that the Indians called this place Guanajuato was because there are two big granite outcroppings on one of the hills. And if you look at them, maybe when you've had a couple of margaritas, they look like two frogs just about to leap. I looked at them, I couldn't see that they just looked like big bulges. Anyway, the Indians thought they looked like frogs. Maybe they've been not drinking margaritas, but eating, what are these special mushrooms that they have in Mexico, which are hallucinogenic. Anyway, that's where the name came from. And so this little village down by the river grew, and if you've got a river and you're in a desert sort of area, which is where Guanajuato is, you have a problem, because deserts in Arizona and California and New Mexico and the northern part and central part of Mexico, all these deserts have a rainy season. And although it's dry as a bone most of the year, when the rainy season's on, the water rushes through what they call arroyos, which are dried up streams. And it rushes through these streams, or rushes down these rivers, and causes a lot of flooding and a lot of damage. And that's what happened to Guanajuato. Every year it would have a problem with floods. So they set about, and this was a very rich area, they weren't going to desert it. They set about solving the problem, and they solved it first of all by straightening the river and digging it deeper and wider. And that held together for a while, but as the village expanded, became a small town, it still didn't solve the problem. So, very smartly, and with a lot of engineering skill, they covered the river in and built houses and shops on top of the river. So it was like they had a big tunnel underneath the town where the river flowed. And that's how the river flows to this day. It flows under the town. And then as time went on, the problem became not so much the water, But the traffic. You're now in a narrow, the town is built in this narrow area with the hills on either side in this valley. It doesn't have any water anymore because that's flowing underneath. But the traffic has a heck of a job of getting through. So what do? They build tunnels similar to the tunnel that carries the river, but parallel to it on either side, and they have going north and south on one side, going from the south to the north on one side, they built a tunnel, and coming the other way, they built another tunnel. So the main traffic flows underneath the city, and there are, if you go in the bus, there are bus stops and in these tunnels under the city, just like a subway. And you get out of the bus and you walk up some steps of course all over the place, and you come out on top in the market or in the plaza or here, there, or everywhere. Very interesting, extremely clever engineering and architecture. So you've got this very old city with beautiful, beautiful buildings in it and relatively little traffic that you can see because it's all underneath. So that's what we discovered in the first day as we toured Guanajuato. And of course you see lots of churches, and frankly you see too many churches. You get, they all have beautiful facades, beautiful altarpieces. Because it's a mining town, because it's a rich area, all those altarpieces are covered with gold leaf, and many of the facades are beautifully carved. But, you know, once you've seen several of these churches, they all begin to look alike, and although the guide tells you, points out the differences, your eyes begin to glaze, at least mine do. And Georgie can't see them very well in the first place, so she has even more difficulty. But there are some museums there, and one of them is a very surprising, at least I thought it was surprising. I think most of you listeners will have heard of Don Quixote, who is a fictional character, a Spaniard called Cervantes, wrote about the travels of Don Quixote. He was always tilting at windmills, he was always going out and trying to do exotic things, and these were written, I mean, there's a bit of trivia. Shakespeare wrote Hamlet, and Don Quixote was written both in 1605. So they're very old tales. And the most important museum in the world for Don Quixote is in Guanajuato, Mexico. Now, what on earth is it doing there? Why isn't it in Spain? Well, there's a university in Guanajuato, a large university, and some 30 or 40 years ago, the students decided that they would, I guess it was the theatrical group or the drama group in the university, decided that they would enact these tales from Don Quixote in the various plazas of the city of Guanajuato, so that the poor people could see these plays for free. They weren't in a theater, they were outdoors, and the people could just see them played out. And this caught on, and a festival was started, which has become the most important Cervantes Festival. The author, the person who wrote the tales of Don Quixote, and it became the most important festival in the world. And it still is growing, and thousands of people come from all over the world each year. These are aficionados. These are people who are into Cervantes' work, just as you have Shakespearean festivals in various parts of the world, as well as in England. You have the most important Cervantes festival here in Guanajuato, and that has led to this museum and to myriads of statues of Don Quixote all over the place. So that's how it got to be there, and it's a very interesting museum, and we learned, you know, something about Don Quixote which we never expected. Then, as it's a mining town, of course we had to visit some mines, and most of the mines are down steep shafts, and you have to, and you can see the shafts taking the miners, the lifts taking the, or the elevators taking the miners down and bringing the ore back up to be loaded onto lorries and trucks to be taken to the refinery. But one of the mines is what in England we used to call in coal mines a drift mine. I don't know if that term is used in the States. They didn't call it a drift mine, but it's a mine where instead of going down a shaft, you walk in from the side of the hill. And we visited that mine. And I found it very interesting. You go in and you see how they dynamite areas to bring the rock down, to take the rock out. You can see very clearly this mother lode that we were talking about, which contains the silver and the gold and some traces of tin and other and zinc and other metals, but mainly silver. In fact, it's the second largest, it's the largest silver mining area, there's a number of mines in Mexico, and is the second in all of America. In North and South America, it's the second largest silver-producing mine. It's, as I say, it's an important gold-producing mine, but the amount of gold is very small compared to the amount of silver. So we went into this mine. We all had to put hard hats on, and Georgie didn't really enjoy it at all. She couldn't see. I mean, it was dark. Fairly dark, and we didn't have to wear lights, miners' lights, but our guides did, and there was some electric lights along the path that we went in on. There was a railroad track, because all the ore is brought out in rail, in hand carts essentially, but they're on rails, and these used to be pulled by men. They're all electrified now, of course, but in the early days of the mines, all the these cars were loaded with ore, rock, and they were pulled by Indians. And the Indians, the Spaniards, used to treat the Indians just like slaves. They weren't officially slaves, but they treated them exactly the same way, and many of them died from exhaustion. And also, when they got to refining the silver, to bring the silver and the gold out of this dust, they crushed the rock, and then they had to get the silver and the gold out of the rock, and you do that, or they did that through a mercury process. They put mercury on it, which and the mercury attracted the gold dust and the silver dust to it. And then you vaporize, you heat the mercury, and you vaporize it, and you're left just with the gold and the silver dust. And I don't know how many of you know that mercury is what they call a heavy metal. and the body cannot get rid of it. So if you absorb it through, if you vaporize it and then you breathe the vapor, you get that coming into you, into your body, and the body can't get rid of it. It's just absorbed into the body, and eventually, like lead is very similar. You get lead poisoning and mercury poisoning. And thousands, I guess, Indians died through being poisoned with this mercury. And this refining process and the smelting process was done very locally, and it was done in the haciendas. This hacienda that we were living in, we were living in the converted house, goes back to the 16th century and 17th century, and it was, you think of most haciendas as being agricultural estates. Well, this was really a factory, and you can see where all the refining went on. It's a beautiful garden now. It doesn't look at anything like it did when it was a working hacienda. But all the Indians owned by, like slaves, owned by the hacienda, they did all the refining and all the smelting and eventually finishing up with gold and silver bullion. And thousands and thousands of them would die. The Spaniards treated the Mexicans just terribly. They refused to allow them to be educated. It was against the law for any Mexican to be educated at all. And they had this system that if you were a Spaniard, that meant that your parents were both Spaniards and that you were born in Spain. Okay? Now, if your parents were Spaniards and you were born in the Americas, in the American, in Mexico, or any other part of the Americas, you were called a Creole. You could still be educated if you were a Creole, but you were sort of a second-class citizen. The Spaniards, i.e. the people born in Spain of Spanish parents, were the number one. If you were born of Spanish parents in America, in Mexico, you were a Creole and you were number two. Now, if you were born of mixed parents, like your father was a Spaniard but your mother was an Indian, then you were a mestizo. And if both your parents were Mexican or Indians, then you were an Indian. And mestizos and Indians were not allowed to be educated. All you could be was essentially a slave to the Spaniards or to the Creoles. So you have this hierarchy, if you like. And the Mexicans or the mestizos were on the low end of the totem pole. So it was the Indians and the mestizos who did all the work. The Creoles, many of them became churchmen. They could be educated, so they could become priests. And a lot of them were in the army, in the Spanish army. And, of course, the Spaniards themselves lorded it over everybody else. So, I've told you now a little bit about Guanajuato and about the hacienda and the hotel where we were and how the mines produced all the wealth. And then we made several day trips out of Guanajuato. We went one day to San Miguel de Allende. San Miguel is a favorite place for Americans and Canadians to retire. We were very disappointed in it. I don't know why they're so excited about it, but they are. I guess it's cheap. for one thing, the climate is fabulous, but there doesn't seem to be anything very much to do there. Everybody was sitting around in the plaza reading the English language paper, you could do that, but that gets kind of old after a while. And it didn't seem to be, it was an old sort of cluttered town, and apart from it, the weather and the cheap, we didn't have a very good lunch there. We were disappointed. Another day we went to a town called Dolores. Hidalgo Dolores. And that was a beautiful, we loved that town. No Americans, naughty Americanos, gringos there, but just local people. It's just a small town, 40,000 people, and a wonderful ceramics there. We bought a beautiful plate with sunflowers on it, sunflower design, which would have cost you $40 or $50 or $60 in the U.S. for $5. You couldn't, it was very heavy, you couldn't bring more than one away with you. At least we didn't think we could. And we also bought two beautiful Mexican hats there. And they cost us $4 a piece. And once again, you couldn't buy anything like it in the States, $40 or $50. And what else did we buy? We bought blankets, two blankets, $12 a piece, you know, Mexican blankets, all beautifully colored. And Georgie bought a Mexican summer dress, $13. Wonderful price, wonderful things to buy, very, very cheap. And Mexican silver, of course, I bought Georgia a Valentine's necklace and earrings and beautiful silver, that was the extent of our purchases. Well, I was telling you a little bit about our trip to Mexico. I want to come back and talk to you next week about Mexican history, because the theme of the Elder Hostel was the history of Mexico. And I think I learned an awful lot, and I'll pass some of it on to you if you're not too bored. So I'll be back next week talking about this Elder Hostel again and talking about Mexican history. And we'll see you then. This is John Narbra signing off. Thank you.